Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad that you've tuned in and you're joining us today on our program. Now that we're at the start of a new calendar year, we want to, over the next couple weeks, look back at some of the significant issues that took place in our world over the past year. There are a number of issues that we want to look at. That's why we won't be able to include it all in one program. We want to look at some of the political issues that have been surrounding us, and a number of the environmental issues as well that we have been facing. So in our studio today, Mario's with us again. Welcome, Mario.
Thank you, Paul.
And we want to start with our discussion now by looking at some of the political issues that we encounter over the past year, in the year of 2010. There's a number of them, significant ones, maybe not so much just within Canada, but certainly south of the border and other issues around the world. The world seems to become a little bit smaller every year. And as we look at some of these issues, we want to look at them, as always, from a biblical perspective, to put them in a light that makes sense as to what's happening around us. So if we start perhaps, Mario, with something that was in the news just a few months ago, and that was the American midterm election, in which we saw a change in the landscape of the political scene south of the border. Maybe you want to start with that one, Mario?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that a new party, party was formed called the Tea Party, as a way to bring out some of the things that they felt that was significant to what constitute America. The morality has declined, they said, and there were other issues that they were bringing back, and said that even including religion, and they said, you know, we need to go back to God, because things we're seeing in our world, and especially in America, is because we've departed from that we once was, right? So it's interesting to see which impact it had when the Tea Party stepped in. And we know that several of other leaders, Republican leaders, endorsed the Tea Party in one way or another.
Well, it's interesting because we saw Greg Beck, Sarah Palin mm-hmm. come together, and they had that massive gathering. And they were questioned on that. They said, well, isn't this church and state, coming together? And they said, oh, no, not at all. But, very superficially. I mean, it had that all over. It was definitely church and state coming together. And this idea of going back to God is not a bad idea mm-hmm. in the sense that, people have wandered from their roots, have wandered from scriptures, have wandered from their walk with God. But the lesson here is that we can't return to God by legislating people by returning to God. Mm-hmm. History is full of examples as to what's happened when legislated decisions were made, which forced people to worship God in a certain way. God calls us to come back to Him with a free will, not being forced to do it.
And that's why we're seeing more issues being now heralded that they should be addressed by the Supreme Court rather than individual states' courts. And some of the individual state courts cannot handle it. We're thinking of the Proposition 8 and some other issues, abortion and so on, that have been addressed in various states. They're realizing they cannot deal with it. A local that has to go to Washington and be once for all decided by the 9-judge panel. And we know that even the last of the 9, which retired, was, you know, Obama put a new Supreme Court judge in place, which was a dean of the Harvard School. I thought it was interesting. But we see here that the new Supreme Court is made up of new faces, young Supreme judges. So that means they're going to stay for a while. There are not going to be many changes that we saw the last few years in terms of Supreme Court judges being replaced due to age and so on. So I think, you know, these 9 will have to make some important decision, and I think one of them will be addressing some of the constitution issues as well, which has been pushed by certain groups that need to be amended and modified.
But it's interesting, too, when you look at the breakdown of the 9, I believe there are 6 Catholic, 3 Jewish.
That's right.
And it's interesting, you know, the United States being originally founded on its Protestant principles, and not one Protestant left on the Supreme Court.
Yes, they're all been extinct now, so to speak, and it's interesting to see that there's been a shift in terms of, you know, the makeup of the 9 judges.
Yeah, and you go back just a few decades ago, and that would have been unheard of.
Yes, you know, it's fascinating to see how the political climate has changed in the United States. We also think about the immigration laws that are in front of the Supreme Court now, how they're going to deal with so many millions of immigrants illegally working in the United States, paying their taxes, but officially not recognized as being landed or whatever. And, you know, this has been debated. How they're going to deal with this? Are they going to send them home? I mean, Obama said, how are we going to do with their children who will be born on this land? And so we see that there are many things that President Obama would have to be addressed, and the Supreme Court, of course, in these issues.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, in dealing with these issues, there's very much a majority up until the midterm election. But now they find themselves in a situation where it's Republicans and Democrats having to work together. Because the House and, you know, the Senate and Congress, there's no more majority there.
No.
And, you know, from the outside looking in, you say, well, how can they put anything through now because of that division? But it forces people to have to work together.
And they have to come together, as they say, find common ground. You know, putting their partisan views aside for the better of the nation. And I think, you know, this is very interesting to see the dynamics. And that the Republicans and the Democrats, who in the past will say, well, this is issue is typical Republican or Democrat, will have to bend and find common ground so they can see how they can solve these issues, whether it's economic problems or other domestic problems.
And this idea of common ground is something that is not new. You know, we see that, you know, the various religions, you know, from around the world over the past few decades really coming together. We want to focus on this more in our discussion next week. Mm-hmm. But when you look at common ground, it's always a lowest common denominator. That which divides is put aside, and, you know, the few basic principles that sort of cause the group to gel together is what becomes what they move forward on.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting how America, again, is stepping on the plate of being the leader of all the countries, if you look on the global scale. I just found this article in the Washington Post of September 2010. It says that the Council of Foreign Relations were addressed by, in a lengthy speech by Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, which declared that a new American moment has arrived in international relations, a moment wherein our global leadership is essential, even if we must often lead in a new ways. And then she says that this is a moment that must be seized through hard work and bold decisions to lay the foundations for lasting American leadership for decades to come. And you know, it's interesting, Paul, that the Bible has been speaking about in Revelation 13, there's two beasts that comes up. And second beast that it talks about in Revelation 13 talks about this United States, when you start reading it in detail, and how it will actually enforce certain things on the rest of the world. And Hillary Clinton is making a decision, saying here that American leadership is for decades to come. Mm. It's not anymore Russia and America or China. Even some might say China, but even China listens to America on many grounds.
Mm-hmm. And even by George Bush. You know, who said, you know, if you're not for us, you're against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's talking to the countries of the world. He said, you know, you're either for us or against us. So, you know, indicating that we are the leaders right now.
Yes, and I think what's galvanizing, we see in Canada, in Toronto, G20 meetings, you know, spend $1 billion on that 3-day. There were a lot of people questioning whether, you know, this was warrant to have such a thing in the center of Toronto, disrupting everything and all the problems that that involved. But we see that everyone's coming because of the economic problem they were facing in the world. You know, we saw that in 2009, and everyone thought we would be getting out of this. But more printing money in the States, the gold price going up all the time, shows that there's insecurity and not a trust in American dollar or the euro, as we've seen both Greece and Ireland recently had to take on what's called austerity measures.
Yeah, and that seems to be a new word. That's a word that people were looking up, because all of a sudden they're talking about austerity. But is it a new word? It's been around for a while, though, hasn't it?
Well, yes, comes back from the 14th century, actually, denoting quality or state of being austere, meaning enforced or extreme economic problems. And we think back 14th century, I mean, that's a long way back to Dark Ages, if you want to look at dress and the economic problems. But it's interesting, that was a year, that was the most common word looked up in the 2010 on the various web.
Austerity.
Austerity, yeah. Because when Greece had to accept a $100 billion bailout, the word was that they could get this, but they had to implement austerity measures, and people didn't know what that word meant. Mm-hmm. For so many years, and so they were looking it up, and we see what's transpiring in Greece now with various cutbacks, tax increases, and certain things. People are realizing there are, and Ireland too, just recently had to accept this, even though Ireland said they would be able to handle it on their own. And what's interesting too is the euro and the IMF are setting conditions to give them these loans, and they actually set the an amount of loan. So Ireland was indicating they could handle less loan, but the IMF and the Europe said, no, you have to take $100 billion, not less. And so, you know, that shows us also that who is the one who gives out money also sets the stage of or the conditions that have to be drawn.
Yeah, and there's other countries waiting in the wings.
Oh, we have Portugal and Spain and you know, other countries too. And those are small countries still, and we can see the impact it has. I mean, it was even to a point where Germany went in and said, we're going to keep euro, you know, or any cost.
Yeah. And it's interesting because for years we've been hearing about, you know, wiping out the debt of the third world countries. But now we're seeing the debt of the Western world, you know, countries on the verge of collapse because of the debt that they're carrying now.
Well, just the previous Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown, together with the European Union's debt set aside $100 billion for the third world countries to help them, the poor countries. They were going to give that. And now they're facing the same situation, really. Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting that in difficult times, certain measures are put in where these countries now, when they take on these big debt loads from other countries, how they're going to repay them. The interest might be low now, but if the interest goes up, how they're going to be paying that?
Yeah, it's pretty much putting, you know, countries in bondage.
Oh, so much, yes. Yeah. Because the only thing that the country has is their people and their land.
When you think about it, I remember a quote from former Prime Minister Paul Martin, who said that when he was asked about, you know, forgiving the debt of third world countries, he responded, "Well, they'll forgive the debt of the third world countries for those who abide by the human rights." And it's interesting what you can include in human rights, you know, anymore. You know, we know about the Bible talking about, you know, a time that we'll not be able to buy or sell except for those who have the mark of the beast. You know, if you, you know, there's coming a time when, you know, Sunday worship will be legislated across the world. You know, no country will be immune from that. And if you include that into human rights, then because it'll be sold as a day of not just a day of worship, but a day of rest, a family day.
Yes.
And, you know, a day set aside. You know, noble reasons for sure. But God, you know, His commandment says, you know, to keep the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and then not the first day of the week.
Yeah.
And you know, God gives us the free right to keep, you know, a day if we want to keep another day. But He said, if you're going to keep my day, He said, you have to keep the Sabbath day.
And, you know, God never enforces anyone to worship Him. But here we see in Revelation 13, enforced worship, Revelation 14, sorry, and enforced worship where you can't buy or sell. You know, so we see that worship and religion is going to come and be a central part of this New World Order, because a New World Order has been propagated by various statesmen. It's not a conspiracy theory or whatever some will be saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from previous President George Bush to current one, to Gordon Brown and to Henry Kissinger, they've been saying we need a New World Order to deal with the mess in the world. Mm-hmm. And it can't be just, we cannot have sovereign countries dealing with their own things. They have to be part of the big picture, so to speak. And I thought of Henry Kissinger. He's the one who made that profound quote. He said, you know, you control the oil if you have a control of the oil, you control the nations. And if you control the food, you control actually people.
And both those issues have been prominent in the news this year. You know, we can talk even a little bit more about the debt crisis. You know, Revelation 18, maybe if you want to share some of that with us, Mario, you know, talks about, you know, a time that's foreseen when, debt will be an issue.
Yeah, and this Revelation 18 is an interesting one because it deals with, kind of reiterates the warning that we find in Revelation 14, which are the three angels' message, the final message to the world that goes out to warn them, to bring them back, God's people to worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, again, alerting that He's the Creator. Haven't we heard much about creation and evolution debate, you know, where we come from? But in Revelation 18, talks about a fall of a Babylon, of a system that enforced everyone. And it's interesting when you read through that, and it's a long chapter, but I just want to take a few things here. It says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. And he is talking about Babylon being depicted as a woman. And we know from the Bible, as we looked at it, that papacy is the prominent woman of Babylon, being the ones that all, you know, wandered after her. So much that even the G8 now has wandered to the Vatican to get the blueprint how to deal with the economic situation. And it's not a new thing. This happened in the last G8 in 2009 in the summer discussing. And who do they take? They take on the papacy's encyclical that they're going to implement as to deal with the economic and other issues in the world. And so it says that the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchants at any more. And this is at the end time where God steps into the picture. The merchants of gold and silver and precious stone and pearls, and it goes through many things here, the cinnamon and the ointments and the frankincense, the oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Souls of men. So even the slaves was part of this Babylon. She owned everything. And it says that the merchant of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So we see this as an end time situation where things are open to everyone can see. And these last plagues are going to fall. And the merchants are stepping back and realize what's happening. And it says here that, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And I thought, clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet. Whenever you see from Rome, it's always purple and scarlet. You know, the priest.
The fine linen.
The fine linen too, you know. Yes, the white linen. For 1 hour so great riches is come to nothing, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and all, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. And cry when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they were mourning over it because they lost everything they had invested in this system. And it says here, the contrast, it says, rejoice over her, you heaven and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And then it talks about how this great city Babylon was thrown down and she should be found no more. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And in verse 23 it says, and the light of a candle shall shine no more in thee at all. So for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So we see at the end of Revelation 18 here, that picks at this system that is asking homage or worship over God. Of all, dictating the rich and small, poor and bond, you know, everyone. We talked about souls of men.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyone's, you know, who is not found in the book of life, who are not given their life to Christ, will be standing on this side.
when it talks about the mark of the beast, it's, yeah. It talks about those who receive it in their forehead or in their hand.
Yes, and we know the forehead is consciously that you worship it in the hand. Of course, you do it by your work.
What you do.
So you might not believe in it, but because of these external pressures, you yield to do the work.
Yeah. You don't have to cognizantly believe with your mind, but yet if you follow by your deeds, you're just as guilty.
Yes. Interesting how the Bible puts it, you know. So as we read through this, you can see here that there is a coming time where all these merchants and all these rich men who are given allegiance at one time, a confederacy with the papacy and America.
Yeah. And, you know, one's mind, when you read that, you know, can't help but think what we hear on the news almost on a daily basis about a national debt crisis they're coming, or a global debt crisis.
Yes.
Last week I heard on the news, we're at record levels right now, you know, even in Canada, as to the amount of debt per capita. You know, for every dollar we're spending, we're earning, we're spending something like $1.48. And it's only increasing. You know, it's not going down. But there's other countries that far exceed the amount of debt, you know, per capita than even Canada does. So it's very poignant when you read that Revelation 18 and you see what's happening, you know, today in our world, you know, financially. It seems that I remember a quote, you know, one I heard, I can't remember who quoted it, but saying, you know, we have lots of problems, but we're just running out of solutions. That's how to resolve them. And when you read in Revelation 18, you say, you know, the trumpeters, the pipers, the candle has gone out. That's interesting. You know, a trumpet, a pipe is what leads people. You know, when an army marches forward, you know, often, you know, they're led by a trumpet. You know, a candle. Candle is often, you know, throughout the scriptures, is something that leads. But when that guidance is lost, people are left to their own way and to their own demise. So, you know, the Bible's written as much for today, more for today than it was in the past.
Indeed, yeah.
So, when we look at these issues, you know, taking place, and we all, you know, and another issue that came, to light this year as well, or this past year in 2010, that ties into this. There's a couple issues we want to talk about there, Mario, but the issue around the WikiLeaks, because, you know, we see so much take place within the news, and you know, we're not here to say that, you know, everything that's on WikiLeaks is true or it's wrong, but it's interesting information that comes out. Is you know, information that, you know, you just don't hear about on the news that's being reported.
No, and some have been saying that, well, some of these news are not new news. It's just been rehashed and modified and things, you know. And some have been questioning how they can blot out things that would be against national security according to these leaks, and what would constitute not and what can be aired. So I found interesting, President Obama didn't seem to be too much concerned with these leaks. And so, but again, I'm wondering if this is not leading in a way. We're dealing with the issue about airwaves. You know, you have to control the airwaves and what's going out. Because right now, I'm wondering if this is not a means to find a way. They talk about transparency and that things that are being said should come out so people know. But I'm wondering if it could also be a way, it could be used this way to put some sort of hamper on the internet and other ways of a more controlled media. But it is interesting, though, that it's become a new mode of information where the big news medias are actually using WikiLeaks. They're not doing the searching themselves, whether it's credible or not. They're using that. It's become almost like tabloids. And people's span of knowing things and discussing is become very artificial.
Yeah, well, we've learned over the last decade that all you need to do is call something a security threat, and it brings about a change.
Oh, yes.
And we've seen that in many different areas. But just one thing I want to touch on quickly before we close, Mario, is we talked about the debt crisis, but also the food crisis that we've been facing as well this year.
Well, I think with the food crisis, you know, the price has gone up 40% on certain grains. But I found also that's been propagated now is the GM. Genetically modified technology. And it's become more propagated now in our media that you know, that we need to have these technologies developed so we can feed the poor people and we can have more food. Those who are promoting the GM technology is actually the Pope's scientist. In a recent article, they're saying that we need this.
Yeah. Well, just even there's a commercial on TV lately from a computer company saying, you know, smarter food, creating smarter food.
Yes, IBM has, you might have seen it, because they say we can make create smarter foods, we can keep track of it, as from its where it came from to the...
A longer shelf life, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And a lot of these technologies will be now incorporated in our foods, or even when we are traveling. The biggest issue, especially with environment issues too, you know, if we have a lot of floods in Canada, what about our wheat supply? China just this past year said, we have so much natural disasters, we were not going to export as much as we were going to. So we can see that this is going to have an effect on the world on a global scale.
Yeah, and prices are going up everywhere. Even just a couple weeks ago in the news, you know, cotton was up by 3 times its cost, you know, just over a year ago. And you know, you go back to the debt crisis. The one of the fears is, you know, inflation or interest rates rising. There's so many factors that can come into play there that can really topple any type of recovery that the world's trying to go through right now. Mm-hmm. But though we see these things taking place around us, you know, we have God's sure word that He'll lead us through no matter what we face if we stay close to Him. And we talk about the candle going out. Well, God is always there for our guidance. So our time is up, Mario. Next week, we'll continue with this discussion. But if anybody has any questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. You can email us there, and we'll gladly respond to you. And we'll just close out our first half hour with a selection by Bruce Moss entitled Ever Forward, Never Backward.
Backward never, straight ahead the course is set. Onward, upward, always reaching for the goal with no regret. What can this world of woe now offer to replace the throne of God? Forward ever, backward never, walking in the Savior's love. Forward ever, backward never, run the race with all your might. With your eyes fixed on the Savior, He will be your guiding light. Store up treasures fit for heaven, do not worry nor be afraid. Forward ever, backward never, come to worship with the saints. Do not worry for tomorrow. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He will wipe away your sorrow. He will be your just reward. Forward ever, backward never. Stay the course and you will see the glory of the King of Heaven coming down for you and me. Sound the trumpet, ring the bell, preach the gospel of the King. Forward ever, backward never, loud hosannas we will sing. Forward ever, backward never, never doubting, always sure. Put your trust and faith in Jesus, then your life will be secure. Place your sins upon the altar, every wrong you must confess. Forward ever, backward never, you will be forever blessed. Do not worry for tomorrow. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He will wipe away your sorrow. He will be your just reward. He will wipe away your sorrow. He will be your just reward.
Broadcasting from the campus of Memorial University in St. John's, this is MUN Radio 93.5 CHMR-FM.
And this brings to an end our program for today. We hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.